and talk for a few moments. There was a very strong emphasis in Rudy's teaching that implied that you needed to make yourself whole, that you needed to open all of you, meaning all of your chakras, and find a kind of integration and completion so that you were a truly, fully functioning human being. This was really core in his teaching. Of course, what it implies on some level to most of us is that we are somehow imperfect, that we need to be fixed. And in a certain sense, we do need to be fixed. But the journey to being fixed and the mere impression that we are not complete or perhaps even broken is part of the perfection of the journey. You can't even begin to truly become whole until you recognize that you are not whole. And the mere recognition of that fact is a sign of some kind of divine grace in your life. The most painful thing all of us face is that we are wanting in some way. We have our imperfections. Usually, intimacy with another human being is when somebody accepts you for your imperfections. When you are not completely terrified to expose your imperfections to another human being. It's often the bond of love, really, when somebody goes, I love you because of you, because of all the parts of you, the parts that work and the parts that don't work. And in some ways, we take that as a license that we don't have to do anything about the stuff that doesn't work, which is not exactly true. Because the stuff that doesn't work ultimately will foul the machine. Something has to be fixed. Something within you has to be fixed. And I know fix is a very odd word. Let's talk, for example, about a broken heart. How do you fix a broken heart? Well, a lot of hearts break because of a kind of betrayal, a kind of not living up to the contract. You know, parents break their children's hearts by no longer loving them as beings, but now loving their behaviors or not loving their behaviors. And so children begin to become these automatons trying to please parents and realizing they can't please them completely, and therefore there's a breakage that occurs inside. They break their heart. They break their parents' heart because they're not living up to the expectation. Lovers break our hearts all the time. Hearts, when they're broken, suffer. And often what happens around a broken anything is that it calcifies. Material forms around it in order to protect it from its pain. And as it calcifies and becomes less sensible to us, we lose contact with it and it really doesn't function. And then people start to live a life not only with a broken heart but with no sense of their heart. And they live a life not feeling or feeling very little and thinking it's enough. And there's a lot of dissatisfaction and pain in their lives as a result. And What can you do about that? What do you do about a broken heart? Well, it all starts, of course, with acknowledging that that's the case. That something's not working. Saying to yourself, I don't feel love for anything or anyone. I don't have empathy. I don't have sympathy. I don't care. This kind of screw them mentality that a lot of people have in life, where they just simply don't feel for another person. It's a sign of a very diminished heart chakra. And it's only when you feel that the pain of its being closed is greater than pretending it's not there at all, when you really feel the absence, that you start to want to do something about it. And at that point, spiritual work starts. Because you find in yourself something that says, help me. Help me. I want to feel. I want to love. I want to heal. I want to be whole. The pain that brings you to that moment is a gift. It's the way the universe works. And then, what do you do? What do you do to begin to heal? Well, you begin to let go of the habits that have obstructed the pain. And what are those habits? Well, we all have them. They can be as specific as as taking drugs and alcohol. They can be denial. They can be living a life with no relationships or with relationships that don't work. Whatever it is, something in you has to be willing to let go of the pattern that has obstructed you from your own heart. And as soon as you start to say, please help me, please help me to open this place, you will feel stirrings that are very powerful. And then the job is really interesting, because it becomes your job. Truly your job, not anybody else's. This is the moment where you have to make changes internally to get your heart open. You have to let go of the very things that are keeping it closed. You have to begin to acknowledge your own limitation. You have to put yourself in circumstances where your heart may flutter into openness. You have to socialize again. You have to meet people. You have to give up the things that are cutting you off from that intimacy, from that connection with another person or with yourself. You have to discover what those patterns are, and they'll be very visible, because you will feel resistance to change. You will feel resistance to doing something that will make your heart open. And that very resistance is the sign that that's the thing to be worked on. You'll say, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do that. It's too hard. It's not right. Why should I have to do that? That's exactly where you have to go. And you have to allow that resistance to surrender, to melt. You have to go there and say, please help me. I don't want to be in a resistant mode. I do not want the suffering that goes with fighting my closed heart. Please help me. And this thing will start to come through. And this thing that comes through is yourself, your deepest, truest self. And this self is shockingly whole. It is shockingly complete. It is everything you want to be. It's there right now. What's standing between you and that is resistance, ignorance, and laziness. The patterning that's closed you down and cut you off from this unbelievably healthy heart is just a pattern of being. And once you start to see that and you really ask for this help inside, this energy starts to come through you from deep within, or you will attract a situation in life that will begin to work on it from the outside. Once you say, I really want to open my heart, someone will emerge in your life who is a heart opener. You may reject them if that's your pattern, but if you have really, really deeply asked, you will recognize this is the opportunity, and that person will work from the outside, and this thing will work from the inside, and this chakra will start to go. It will just open. And you will find that you have healed a broken heart. You have healed it because you've asked for help. You will heal it because you are willing to do the work. The fixing is not exactly your problem. You don't know how to fix it. None of us could fix a broken flower. None of us. How do you do that? But you ask inside, and the energy of fixing, the energy of correcting, the energy of giving life and giving balance and harmony and fullness is within you. And all you have to do is reach into that place in a deep and sincere way, and it starts to rise, and life comes at you from the other side, and the two forces working together create the exact thing that you need. And this happens all the time, if you want it to. But you have to say, help me. And you have to say, I need to be fixed. I'm broken. This isn't working. This part of me is not working. You don't even have to know how to do it. You don't have to even know where to go or how to begin the process. All you have to do is sit down and say, please help me. Help me to open. Help me to become a whole human being. Help me to feel my being. Help me to feel these spaces in me that are so congested or so tight or so dead. Please help me feel alive. All of these wishes, which were central to Rudy's practice, these wishes to grow, to be happy and fulfilled, as he put it, these wishes are the things that start you in the process. But nobody can do this but you. That's the hardest part of our spiritual practice. We all say, fix me, and we then want the doctor to come in and do it, or the shaman, or somebody to come in and take care of it for us. And the truth is, they arrive. They really do come. But they can't do it. They can partake of the process. They can help initiate the process, but you have to bring yourself to that place that is asking, and then you have to bring yourself right into the resistance that you feel for whatever cure is being presented, and you have to just go, please help me to open to this, to accept it. And again, this thing happens from deep within. There is this opening that occurs, and healing takes place. When all of these chakras have opened, when they have all been healed, if you will, all the different parts of you have been allowed to flow, this being that you experience inside yourself is not a perfect entity. It's you. It's you. It's you, fallible, imperfect on some level. You may have a great mind for certain things, but you have no ear for music. You may have, you know, God knows all the limitations that people have in their lives. But what you come to accept and realize in your life is being perfect does not mean to be everything. You don't have to become a Renaissance human being to be perfect. What you need to become is someone who accepts you as you are and accepts you as a whole being. It is very hard to accept yourself when things are not working. People reject themselves when things are not working. And that rejection is a source of enormous, enormous frustration spiritually. It's only once you come to accept yourself, and what you need to do to accept yourself is get far enough along in this opening that there is a sense that you are a whole person. For better, for worse, you are who you are what you are, and something happens, and this thing that happens is, I am who I am. I am that I am. And in that moment, you take yourself completely as you are. And as you take yourself completely as you are, there is an embrace that comes from somewhere beyond any idea that you can imagine, that takes you in and says, essentially, that it loves you as you are. And only as you have accepted yourself does it accept you. You cannot allow it to accept you if you have not accepted yourself. That's the work. The work is getting to where you can accept yourself. How much completion and healing and wholeness do you need before you say, I accept me as I am? And I don't mean that in a casual way. I mean that in a profound way. I accept the totality of me with all of my insanity and craziness and imperfection and lack of ability and all of these things that I am, my successes or lack of successes, I accept it. The moment you do that, you are one with the universe. It takes over. And as long as you're not doing that, as long as you are dissatisfied, as long as you feel wrong in yourself, imperfect and somehow out of kilter, that being out of kilter is exactly what removes you from this sense of oneness. So we have this enormous responsibility inside to get ourselves in harmony with the universe by becoming harmonious in ourselves. And that basically means open in each of these spaces that we call chakras, so that we have a complete sense of an open mind, an open throat chakra, which is a place of open communication with the world and with ourselves, an open heart to love the world, an open gut navel chakra so that you can function well in the world and function well in yourself, a sexual chakra that deals with renewal and rebirth and regeneration of you over and over, and a chakra at the base of your spine, a chakra of kundalini energy that rises in awe over and over and over at the experience of life in the universe. This is what a human being's life is. It is a fully awakened, fully realized, fully alive experience. And if it's broken and it's not working, you have to do something about it. And nobody else can do it. Nobody. And of course, again, the work is not to make the repair. The work is to allow the repair to happen. To acknowledge the problem and to ask for help and be present. It's to give stuff up. It's to walk away from bad patterns. It's to take on new patterns. It's really about going to the gym, if you will. Not giving in to every temptation. Buddha called it the middle path. It's not going to the gym 24/7. It's going to the gym once a day or once every other day. It's doing all the things you need to do to get yourself into harmony with yourself and with your life, with your body, and with the world around you. Once you have done that, life takes over. And you will feel it, and you will know it, and you will feel this amazing sense that you have brought yourself into the game. You have brought yourself into life. You have brought yourself into this place where you can be acknowledged by yourself and acknowledged by the universe, and you will feel such a sense of oneness, such a sense of openness, such a sense of belonging that you will feel complete and whole, and that's what you want. And beyond that, this something even greater opens up to you, and the doorway to infinity is within that cleanliness and clarity that comes with wholeness. This is the path that we're all on. You're here today because something in you asked for help. This is help coming from the outside. There's help that you've experienced sitting here today coming from the inside. Let those work on you as best they can, and you will find that they will melt and take care of everything in you that needs to be taken care of. But again, if you don't come and do the work, it won't happen. So do the work. Any questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendering. I've been thinking about it for as long as I've been coming to your class. It seems it's easier in some situations than in other situations. I mean, right now I have a situation where a close relative of us is kind of putting a blame on us for something we haven't done. If I don't see this person, then I can say, I can ignore him, completely let him out of my mind, I can say I surrender to the situation. But if I keep seeing this person, how do I say I can surrender without getting nasty or getting angry at him?
Surrender is a complicated concept, and it doesn't, one thinks of it as somewhat simple, that I just sort of surrender and walk away and leave it. And in truth, surrender isn't, I call that disassociation. Surrender is making yourself available to the truth of the moment. Surrender to what is in front of you. If this person is in front of you, then you have to deal with that. And you have to deal with it as openly, honestly, and with the depth of truth that you can find in yourself. Not emotion, not judgment, not superiority or inferiority or whatever else one can bring to the table, just this enormous clarity of being. Surrender is being in that space, in that moment, with that kind of openness. So the next time you have to deal with this person, you have to step up to the plate and surrender all of your anger, all of your hostility or your frustration or sense of poorly being judged badly, and just go, look, this is what is. This is where I can come from. They may not react well to that. They may do all sorts of things to try to disturb you and take you off of your center, but they don't have to. They can't if you won't let them. You just stay there. You surrender to your truth. You surrender to yourself. And the self will do what it needs to do that will be right and appropriate, and you will know it. And it will produce extraordinary results. You'll be surprised by the results. Where results get thrown off is when you don't operate from your center. Results really get skewed when you're coming at it from your emotion, because it creates karmic interaction, and it creates a lot of hostility and a lot of drama, and that never goes well for anybody. But when you come from a place of complete and honest truth, as best you know it, which is really being in this center, it expresses itself in a way that is recognized on all sides, truly. And you may not be able to stay on that center as long and as well as you'd like. That's a muscle. Rudy called the muscle of surrender, the muscle of sort of letting go, the muscle of trust, the muscle of forgiveness, all of these things. You know, those are that's real surrender, is when you just can stay open to whatever is. Not always easy. And the real test of life is that every day you're going to get about 14,000 situations, each one of which is going to test whether you're doing it or not. And if you're conscious, you're going, and you get really good at it. So whatever comes, you're just opening and opening and opening and opening, and life is flowing through you. And the more it flows through you, what happens is more it comes at you. I mean, more than you can imagine, and bigger and stronger and more complicated. But that's the test of your surrender. These kinds of situations come at you because they offer you an opportunity to go to a whole new level in your own inner work. And they come from everywhere, and they don't stop. I don't care how evolved you get spiritually, they will keep coming. And all you have to do is the dance of truth, the dance of openness, the dance of allowing, the dance of forgiveness, the dance of compassion, the dance of saying yes to what is. Does that help? Tara?
I feel like I've been having a real sort of two-path situation for a very, very long time. And I'll go into a little bit about medication, because my chemistry is off. When I take the medication, it's like very still, but it's very much what you talk about the not feel, about the disassociation, about being very, in a way it's very zen, but it's false. When I don't take it, it's like I'm not having skin, and it's too much. So it's interesting, what is the right path? Because when I've been diagnosed with bipolar, and I'm really tired. It'd be great to just work with it. I don't know if it's something that is going to be
Let me throw something at you, just if I can, because you're making a lot of judgments about your own situation. And I think I've talked to you about this before, but it's an interesting one for me. I have acid reflux, which I've had for years, and I take a thing called Nexium. I've taken it forever. And it stops the acid reflux. It's false. The real me suffers endlessly with heartburn, but the acid with this Nexium, I don't suffer at all. It's like I can eat anything, sort of. And I'm grateful to the world for producing Nexium. I don't know why it created it. I look at it as, you know, in a way, God said, let's stop Bruce's heartburn, you know, and a lot of other people's heartburn for now. And it was a great thing. Bipolar situations are real chemical imbalances, and you've been diagnosed as such, and there are pills that can give you what you call a false stillness. But it's a stillness. And it's not as false as you think. Yes, it's coming from the help of a drug, but it's coming from help. It's not a...
Let me just say something. Uh-huh. Even the specialists have been saying that it doesn't work right. I mean, it produces a wrong result too much. So even the specialists are saying that if we're reading side effects, that way the actual result. And I can't figure out that it's not easy.
You're not an easy one to figure out. and most of us are not that easy to figure out. We're very complicated entities. And, you know, there's no complete single answer to anything. Suffering is our human lot. And how we learn to deal with suffering is, in a sense, the measure of our awakening. You don't awaken to no suffering. You awaken to an ability to absorb it and not see it necessarily quite as suffering. Suffering has a lot to do with reaction to the discomfort as opposed to the discomfort itself. And when you're very raw like you are, the fact that there's anything at all that can help you during that period or throughout your life, if that be the case, that's meaningful. Finding the balance, and I'm not a doctor, you know, you can talk to Greg or people who really, you know, understand medicine. Anything that you can find that will help you get through the enormity of pain that's possible in human life is a gift, from my mind. Finding the balance and making it work is partly their job and partly your job. Your job is reacting to it with more benign sense, not being quite so emotionally involved in the problem. I know it brings up emotion, but if you can just start to look at it and go, this is what I am. I am a bipolar being, you know, and you're not alone in this. I mean, everyone has it to some degree. Some have it more than others. You have to accept this is what I am, and I have to find all of the ways I can to find the balance and the harmony and live that life. Are you angry about it? Perhaps. But being angry about it only exacerbates the situation. Anger at what you are, at the truth of a situation, doesn't help the situation. And a lot of us find we're angry. You know, some people are angry because they don't like the way they look. Some people are angry because they have the wrong skin color. Some people are angry because of all these things they can't change. Walking through life angry, of course, is never going to take care of it. There comes a moment where you go, this is the lot that I drew. These are the cards I was given. Now you just go, okay. Everybody's got stuff. Trust me, everybody. And so you find your thing and you go, I accept me as I am. What are the mechanisms that the world offers to find some sort of harmony or balance or simplicity with which to deal with these things? You know, I know people with horrible allergies. Your mother's one of these who has to deny herself, God knows, all kinds of things in life to live a normal life. She can be really angry about it or not. That's her choice. The real choice of every human being is how do I respond to what I am, to what's given. And the great teaching is finally to accept the truth of it and be that as best you can. There are certain things you can't be. If you have a predisposition to be a child molester, you cannot be that in this world. You will be deeply punished for that. And God knows what one does to control those kinds of awful impulses in life. But people have them. And they have to find a way of saying, I have this. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous. I am an alcoholic, but I will now live knowing that without having alcohol because I am conscious of the thing itself. And there's an enormous denial and there's a lot of frustration in that and a lot of anger that comes along with it. But then there comes this thing that goes, yes, that's what it is. This is how I will live with these checks and these balances. You know, I don't know if there's a picture of the Buddha here. Mahakala. No, I don't have one here. But the great figures of the Buddhas standing on top of ego mind. You know, these great figures standing on top of the beast of desire and of wishing it would be otherwise. Something in us has to tamp that down. It has to be bigger than that. And when you get to this place in yourself that is so large in its embrace of life, you can say no to this and no to that and no to that. And every so often you can have a little bit. But mostly no. No. And maybe never. Maybe it's a never. And you just go, okay. And when you totally accept that part of your life, I'm telling you, something opens up in you that is so much bigger and more beautiful than anything you ever got from satisfactions or dissatisfactions in the world, that you are completely willing to sacrifice it all to stand tall on top of all of those controlled desires to have God in your life. And it takes that. That's what it takes. And people don't want to believe it. They don't want to do the work. But that's why Rudy said it's work. You've got to control that stuff in order to get to the place where you can accept you, and then when you do that, God accepts you. That's how it works. But as long as you're in rejection and you're in anger and you're in hostility and you're fighting the truth of what is, you're just in battle mode for as long as it can, from then on in. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, guys.